Good morning. From our reading, you'll see that we are going to look this morning at the Golden Rule. Now, this is a practical lesson that deals with a simple teaching, but it's possibly a challenging application for us. The Golden Rule: therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. In society today, this is a lost principle. This principle that Jesus taught his disciples is one of many that could change the course of society for them at that time, but it also can change the course of society today. Simply put, we need the Golden Rule in our life today. Think of all the hatred and the worldly problems that we have because the society has lost this principle of the Golden Rule. What if all people came back to this basic principle in life? How would our world be? This morning, as we look at the Golden Rule, I want us to take some time and get a basic understanding of the rule, then make some general applications for us by looking at how we can apply the Golden Rule in our relationships, our family, as one, our friends, and our foes. So as we look and get an understanding of the Golden Rule, the main principle of it is to do to others what we want them to do to you. You know, Jesus uses this principle in a positive instead of the societal use of it at his time was put in the negative. It says that in those of Confucius and the Greeks, the Romans, the Buddhists, and the Jewish rabbis all had expressed this same thought in a negative way by saying this: do not do unto others what you would want them to do to you. You see, by doing nothing would satisfy their comment here. But Jesus says in a positive way, do to others what you would want them to do to you. You see, by doing it the way that the society was setting it up, it's the law of the land can basically just handle that. You know, we do not want people to steal from us, so we don't steal from them. You know, the law of the land can take care of most of that, but Jesus, in the whole Sermon on the Mount, compares the worldly principles and applies the principles of him in his law. We see in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, it has been said this, but I say unto you, do this. And so here he's doing much the same. He's taking this statement that he's making in the way it was stated in the world, it was restated negatively, but he is using it positively, saying that you do this. You do unto others. You treat others the way you want to be treated. You see, that requires action on our part. It's a principle, or it's a rule. It's not so much a rule, but a principle by which to live by. And we see here in the King James reading of this is all things. In the New King James, it doesn't mention, it says whatever, and that's kind of like the all things. But we look in the Greek, and it says all things. It's emphatic, it's first, and it says, in all things, we should use this principle in every way, in everything, follow this principle. If we look at the word all things, we need to do and take this principle of doing to others what we'd want done to us. We'd take that in every part of our life. We would use that principle. And therefore also is a connecting word in here. We have to look at a few different words that are in this sentence here to get an understanding of what it means. Therefore also connects it to the prior teachings. In doing so, we have some possible connections to make about the scenarios that were previously before this. First, if we look at the immediate context right with it is in prayer, the context of prayer, verses 7 through 11. And I'll go ahead and read that. It says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if he his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." When we look at the context and context with prayer, the condition of our life, the way we are living our lives, affects our condition of acceptable prayer to God. And if we have a forgiving heart, and when we look at this, the conditions for earnest prayer and submissiveness to the Father's will, and we look at that, and how we live our lives affects how we have our prayer life. And then we look at the connection, the context with the start, going the whole way back to the start of the chapter when he's and when we look at judging, when we look at 1 through 6, it talks about how we are to judge people. And then think of that, and as we look at the golden rule, it says that you will judge people the way you'd want them to judge you. And it says, "Judge not that you will be judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." When we think of putting this in context, the way we judge others, we want to judge others the right way so that they'll judge us the right way as well. And we look at this a little more in depth. It says this, that, and if we think about it, the context here, we don't want someone to judge us quickly or harshly without proper investigation. We would like them to give the benefit of the doubt if I could have been wrong in my judgment. We don't want them to judge hypocritically because we wouldn't want that judged in that manner. That's why it gets down in verse 4 where he talks about, you know, let me remove that speck in your eye. But there's a log hanging out of my eye. You see, we need to judge people based on righteous judgment. That's the way we are going to be judged by God, by a righteous judgment. And so therefore, we apply the golden rule to the whole context of judging, we have to see how we judge others should be the way we would want people to judge us. Then also putting in context, we could put this in context as a general summary of the whole Sermon on the Mount. Right at the end where he says in verse 12, "For this is the law and the prophets." If we remember earlier, if you turn over to chapter 5 in verse 17, chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, "Do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." As we look at this reference by this statement, "For this is the law and the prophets," it could be that the Jews, they use this in a negative sense. Whatever you wish to do, wish done to you, do not do to others. But by adding these words to the golden rule, "the law and the prophets," reiterates the truth that Jesus fulfilled, or at this point in time in his life, is going to fulfill the promise. So Jesus fulfilled the precepts enjoined under the old covenant by giving them a more positive content. You know, what he is talking about here and what it's all joined together is he's come to fulfill the law. He came, and we know that he did fulfill the law. And in connection to summarizing the whole Sermon on the Mount, what he is doing is saying, in all of this, you know, treat others the way you want to be treated. Act in connecting the whole Sermon on the Mount to that statement. The concept of this principle is practical in any of these possible contextual areas, because really it is a high standard to keep. It is a moral standard that provokes on the part of the follower of Jesus Christ. It is a moral standard. The golden rule is a moral standard that, when practiced, provokes goodness and mercy to all sects of people. It can be applicable at any time period. It was applicable in the first century. It is applicable in our lives today, that we can take this golden rule and apply it to our lives and it still be the high standard of living. But when we look at this, it requires first self-evaluation. In fact, when we look at this, it says, do unto others as I would want done to myself. I have to know what I would want done to myself. What would I want people, how do I want people to treat me? And then if I'm living according to God's word and I'm following God's word, I want people to treat me a certain way. So using God's word, I can take that and say, okay, I want people to treat me in this manner, a proper way I want them to treat me. This may include, like, I don't like unkind things said about me, so I'm going to say kind words to others. I don't like it when people are difficult or make my life more difficult or bring problems into my life, so I'm going to be tactful and less difficult with others, trying not to bring problems into others' lives. It starts with me individually. And if I'm looking at God's word and I'm trying to live by it, and because I can't just say, well, you know, I don't care if people are mean to me, so that gives me the right to be mean to others. You see, that's not what it's talking about here. If we're looking at using the standard of God and his word, then I can use those principles that I should live by and apply then the golden rule to that I want others to treat me the way I'm treating them. So what I must do is treat them in a certain way. And we'll look at that as we move on a little bit further. And so it requires us to do some self-evaluation, making sure that we know how to treat, how we want to be treated. Then also, it requires us is putting these attributes to action. And this can be done in our relationships. How the golden rule applies to our relationships. And as I mentioned, we're going to look at the family. Think of our home life. If we had the golden rule and we applied it in our home life, wouldn't our homes be better? What about our marriages? Wouldn't our marriages be better if both the husband and the wife invoke the principle of the golden rule? You know, we could say, well, I don't like it when my spouse does, and you can fill in the blank. And then, therefore, you know, I'm going to treat her in this way or him in this way. So when we look at our marriages, we can use the golden rule to help our marriages and help our home life be better. You know, the attributes of love, attention, communication, caring, forgiving, and patience, all which are taught in the Bible, if we could apply these to our marriages, because I would like to be treated in the same manner. What about our sibling relationship? Those who siblings that live together, you know, we can apply that golden rule in that relationship. We can look at other scriptures like being quick to hear, slow to anger, slow to speak. You see, we would like that. We should do that to others because we would want like that done to ourselves. We don't want our brothers or sisters to be quick to anger and quick to tell me, you know, how wrong I am. We'd want them to be slow, quick to hear me, and slow to speak, slow to anger. And in Romans 12 and verse 18 says, as much as it depends on me, be at peace with all men. If our sibling relationships, if we enjoy peace, we should be, take as much as it depends on me to live peacefully. You know, we think of, we could also look at our relationships, our in-laws. And my dad always used to say, you can pick your nose, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your in-laws. And we think of that, and it's a joke because that's a relationship that sometimes is maybe being constraining, a little problematic, we'll say. But if we show respect, kindness, love in those areas, because we want that in return, we're following the golden rule. And in the same, you see how the golden rule can help us in our home life. What about in our friends, personal relationships? How could we take the golden rule in our friendships to enrich our friendships by applying the golden rule? In Romans 12, it talks about, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. We can look at other scriptures and we can see, you know, let love be without hypocrisy. That means we're going to have these family relationships, these friends, and we're not doing it for anything other than to have that friendship because we love them and care for them. So that's how we want our friendships to be with us. We think of also Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. We think of that and take the golden rule, and that's how we want our friends to act towards us. So that's how I'm going to act with them. The application of the golden rule. What about when we take this and apply it to our friends with evangelism? You know, let's think about it. If I didn't know Christ and I wasn't obedient to the gospel of Christ, I would want somebody to tell me about him. You see, if I was lost, I would want someone to share the gospel with me. And we take this treatment and say, okay, well, what if I'm not, what if I have been obedient to the gospel? I'm saved, as you would put it. And we could say, okay, now what? Well, I should share that because I want the others to have that same relationship with God because I care for them, because I want them to treat me in that manner. I would want them to share the gospel with me if I was lost. What about our coworkers? These are relationships that we can apply the golden rule to. Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 1 through 5, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. If we think of what Jesus has done for us, Jesus loved us. Jesus used this principle of do unto others as he would want done to us, or him. And by loving us. He loved us because, and he went to the cross for us. He loved us and he died to give us an opportunity to get our life right with God. Therefore, what should we do? We should be imitators of God. We see what God has done for us. Therefore, we should do the same for him. We should love him and follow him and walk in love. What about our acquaintances? There's other scriptures that talks about how we love your neighbor as yourself. If we use that and applied the golden rule with that, I want my neighbors to act this way towards me. So therefore, I am going to act this way towards them. Then we looked at family, friends. What about foes? And think of the teachings of the golden rule. It is said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. When we think of our enemies, when we think of them, the normal reaction is they're our enemies. We are not going to do good to them. We are not going to follow after and be kind to them. But the golden rule applies this principle. And Jesus said Luke 6 in verse 27. Let's go ahead and turn there if you would, if you're following along. Luke 6 in verse 27. It says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. And as we read this, think of the golden rule as we're going through this. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And for him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, do also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, that your reward will be great, and that you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind and he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. As we look at this and we can see the golden rule just in this, how we should love our enemies, how we should take that. We don't want our enemies to be, we shouldn't have any enemies, actually. But the Bible says we will have enemies. Jesus said in his prayer in John 17, you know, there will be people that hate them because they've hated Jesus. So what are we to do? We should invoke the golden rule by loving our enemies, doing good to them. And in fact, it says, your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. Think about that for a second. If we are doing, applying the golden rule and loving our enemies, we could be sons of the Most High. What if we take this to the world, be a light of the world, so that they can see our good works and glorify God? In Colossians 4, verse 5 and 6, it says, conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you'll know how you should respond to each other. You see, when we conduct our lives and live our lives according to the golden rule, we are taking in having wisdom, making the most of our opportunities, that opportunity that we could teach others. In fact, we got to think about this, and we're not trying to win a battle, but we're trying to win a soul. And when we think of it in that way, it should change how we think. Also, the next example I'd like to look at is how the golden rule was applied by the Good Samaritan. If you turn to Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. A lawyer came up to Jesus and stood and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to them, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? And so he answered and said, you shall love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus used this parable then and talks to him about who his neighbor is. He said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves and who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side. Likewise, a Levite who arrived at the same place came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I again come, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said to them, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. We see this as the golden rule is as if was the Samaritan. The Samaritan was taking that. If I was laying in the ditch, if I was the one that was beaten and left half dead, wouldn't I go? Wouldn't I want someone to come help me? To apply the golden rule to me. So when we use this and look at this, we see that Jesus says to this man, go and do likewise. Go and do that. And that's applying the golden rule. When we think of this, it concludes, if we go to Matthew chapter 7 again, and the whole Sermon on the Mount concludes in this way. It's therefore, and this is in verse 24, it says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. And great was his fall. And so it was, when Jesus has ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. We see here that if we are going to follow the principles in the Sermon on the Mount, and one of them that we're looking at this morning, the golden rule, we'll see that we would be wise to do so. We are building our house on the rock. In conclusion, today we as Christians need to take this simple teaching of the golden rule and apply it in our lives. Our society can be impacted positively around us if we come in contact with these people and teach them and do apply this principle to them. In our relationships, if we take the relationships that we have and apply the golden rule, how much better they would be. How much better our society would be. Also, if we take this principle in evangelism, by sharing the gospel with those that are lost, what if I was in the wrong relationship with God? I would want someone to share the gospel of Jesus with me. And we think about that at this time. You know, let's say that I was sitting here and I was not in the right relationship with God. I would want someone to tell me how to fix that. I would want someone to say, you have to believe in Jesus. And here's the scriptures of why you should believe in Jesus. I would want someone to say, you know, not only do you have to believe him, but you got to confess him, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and see the examples of that happening in the book of Acts. And then we would say, well, you know, not only that, but you have to repent of your sins. If we were lost and we would want someone to say, you have to turn from those sins and not do them anymore and be sorrowful and show that by turning away from them. We'd also want someone to say, you know, you have to do this. You have to be baptized for the remission of your sins and have your sins washed away. I would want someone to tell me, after I've done these things, to live faithful to God all of your life. You see, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you aren't in the right relationship with God. You've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I encourage you now to do that. Or maybe you're sitting here and saying and thinking, well, I'm not in the right, I've done that, but I haven't been living faithful to God. I would want someone to say, live faithful to God. Turn away from your sin and live for God. Maybe that's you this morning. If we can help you get your life right with God and help you with your relationship by being whether obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ or whether you need to repent of your sins, whatever and however we can help you this morning, please do so as we stand and as we sing.